happen by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as unplanned.
Greetings and welcome back to Livestream, your weekly dose of life only on Good News Community Radio, the station that brings you hope. And this is Vaughn, your host, weekly between 4:30 and 5 on your weekly dose of life. That is Livestream. And we are back in studio today and we are very happy to have some very special guests. And I'm very, very happy. Let's not say the word very many more times in this show. Let's not even count how many times I said that in the first 2 minutes. But we've got two ladies that are in studio with us today, and they are from a house that provides hope for abandoned babies. Now, we are continuing this theme because last week we had Amy Ford speaking from the international group called Embrace Grace, and they are all about putting programs in place in churches to help women who have got unplanned or so-called unplanned pregnancies, helping them to have a support system and have a program, and it's normally around 12 weeks long, for them to go through in order to develop relationships and get the help and the necessary life skills that they need to deal with their unplanned, in inverted commas, pregnancy. Because we all know that with God, he all knew us and formed us and had our purposes and plans laid out before us, before we were even formed in the womb, as it says in Jeremiah. Now, our two guests in studio today are Zama Holland and Landi Viljoen. As we speak about sanctity of life, we know that abortion shouldn't really even be an option, but unfortunately, abortion is legal in South Africa and the Termination of Pregnancies Act has been around since 1997. So a lot of the education is just around where and how to get an abortion done quickly and easily, if I can put it that way, for any young girl who might be under 12 weeks and want to go to a clinic or a hospital. They don't even need parental consent in South Africa. You can just go and have it done. And we also know that the next option would be adoption. But let's just make one thing clear. The most important option is first to enable the mother to do everything in her power and our power to help her to keep the baby, to have a support structure around her where she doesn't even have to give the baby up for adoption. She can have an opportunity to keep the baby and hopefully become the mother that she was called to be in what we like to call the sanctity of life principles of the Bible. And that revolves big around the family unit, mother, father, and children working together. So Baby Hope House is a local organization. They are based out in Pinetown, and they are a registered NPO and PBO, and they are located in 22 Clandenning Road in Pinetown. And you can contact Sonia or Landi. On Sonia, you can contact on 072-774-8549, and Landi, you can contact on 084-548-6780. We will leave the information here at Good News Community Radio. For those that want to WhatsApp in and get the information, you can. You can also email them at info@babyhopehouse.org.za, and their website is www.babyhopehouse.org.za. And like I said, Hope House is a place of safety for vulnerable children, and it seeks to recognize and provide for each child and their specific needs. Hope House is a place of rekindling hope for all vulnerable children. Now, I don't want to say anything more than that, but when we come back, we will be discussing everything to do with Baby Hope House fostering and adoption here in South Africa with Landi and Zama in studio. We'll be right back. Right, greetings and welcome to Good News Community Radio, 93.6 FM, and you're in studio with Vaughn on Livestream, your weekly dose of life. And as I alluded to before, we have got two very special guests in studio with us today. We have got Landi Viljoen and we've got Zama Holland from Baby Hope House. So guys, welcome.
Hi Vaughn.
Hi Vaughn, thank you very much for having us.
So we're going to let Zama and Landi take the lead here, and I'm just going to basically jump in and ask a few questions that I think the listeners might be wanting to know answers to. I think Zama, let's start at the beginning. What is Baby Hope House?
That's always a good question and one we get often. Baby Hope House is a home, a foster home for abandoned babies. So we take in any babies that have been abandoned or removed from their parents temporarily to take care of them, to make sure they have a loving home and a loving support system, to make sure that they receive all the care, nurturing and love that they need.
Okay, cool. And your role at Baby Hope House?
Yes.
Before we move over to Landy, and Landy can tell us her role. Your role, Zama?
So I'm the marketing and fundraising chair for Baby Hope House. So I sit on the board with Landy, my amazing sidekick.
The superhero.
She's literally our home superhero. There's no jokes.
Reluctant superhero, I think. Because yeah. Landy doesn't seem to be one to be called a superhero, but definitely a superhero. Okay, so you are basically what? You volunteer. You've been volunteering for how many years now?
2019 we started. Yes. Yeah. So pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID
join.
Lord help us. And what did you do before Baby Hope House?
So I'm actually in marketing. So I studied at Vega School of Branding. And before that, I was working in FMCG, so fast moving consumer goods, with food and working in one of the biggest corporates in South Africa. So yeah, Baby Hope House is my heart. So I decided to put more time into that.
But you still work full time?
I still work full time, but now I run my own business.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just shine a light on your business. What business do you run?
So I run Touchstone Digital Studios, which is digital marketing and software development.
Awesome. You see, guys, for those that tune in all the time, you know that I'm always speaking about content and how we as Christians need to be using our social platforms, whether we are organizations or individuals, to shed light on various topics and provide quality content to our listeners, to our viewers, and to anyone that might be reading our blogs and tuning in. Guys, it is important to use the platforms that we have. So we have got Zama, who has been part of branding in South Africa for over 5 years. It's the top, top levels. And she is now part of Baby Hope House as a volunteer. And we're just going to quickly shift over, because I think I can speak about Zama more and more and more. But before she carries on talking, let's just listen to our local superhero here. Even though Landy does not like to be called one, Zama basically introduced me to her via WhatsApp. And in the WhatsApp message, she said she plays the role of administrator on our committee, and she pours out all of her love into the home and our babies. She is our designated home superhero. So, Landy, welcome.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the compliment. I definitely don't wear a cape. And
no, you probably used it as a diaper when it was needed.
As a burp schlup.
For the babies. So. So what is it that you do, and how long have you been involved with Baby Hope House?
I started with Baby Hope House in 2016. I was the treasurer. And in 2019, when Lynn Peterson, one of our co-founders, passed away very suddenly, I just honestly believe God thrusted me into the position. And I've been there since January of 2019.
Okay. You touched on the co-founders. You mentioned the one lady has passed tragically in 2019. Tell us a little bit about there were two ladies, I believe,
yes,
Zama.
Correct, yeah.
That were co-founders.
Yes.
Who exactly were they, and what was their motivations to starting Baby Hope House, and how long ago did they actually start Baby Hope House?
Can I let you touch on that?
Pleasure.
Administrator.
Sonia Swinton, who is our house mother, absolutely amazing with babies. We call her our baby whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
And but Sonia and Lynn started Baby Hope House in 2007. We were officially registered as an NPO and a PBO in 2014. And so we all legit. We've got all our papers. We BEE certified, compliant. Thank you. We POPIA compliant. We try and make sure that all our I's are dotted and T's crossed. So
we're not going to say that the government isn't doing its job. Let's not say that. Let's just say that there is so much work that we need these extra organizations in order to help the government function, but more importantly, to help the kids, I think.
Yes.
Because whether the government is functioning or not, yeah. at the end of the day, it's the children that are in the situations that they are in. So what sort of age group do you guys work with, your kids?
So at the moment, we have got 8 children under the age of 1. So at the moment, we've really, really got little bubbas, and we mostly deal with children. We've had premature babies come into the home. We've had slightly older toddlers come in just for placement. So we don't really deal with any children over the age of 3. So we are really about caring for abandoned babies.
Phew.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys are specializing in probably the most difficult time of a child's life, being abandoned from birth up until about the ages of 3, where the developmental stages are so important.
The biggest need is that in the government institutions, these children do not have any sense of family. They do not have any sense of nurturing and love. They are literally left in their cots, fed in their cots, bathed in their cots, mainly because there aren't enough hands on board. So homes like Baby Hope House give those children the sense of family, give them the nurturing and the love and the cuddles, and besides the bathing and feeding and all the rest of it. And this is where our volunteers also come into it, that they come and they give our babies the loves and the hugs and the cuddling and the nurturing.
Why is it so important that we pour so much love into our kids at such a young age? Why can't we just, like we say with the government, they might not have the mothers or the volunteers, and you just become a number in a system, basically.
Yes.
And we all know what happens to our kids in our foster systems. Unfortunately, they end up being bounced around from home to home, end up in juvenile detention centers. Mm. And there is that family dynamic, I think, that is missing.
Yes.
So for you guys, you're providing that service for these kids. How many kids can you guys look after at a time at the moment with your facilities that you've got?
I'm scared to answer that one.
Yeah, as many as you possibly can.
As many as we possibly can, as many as we can feed, and as many as we can clothe. Okay. So each foster parent in South Africa does have a limit to how many children or babies they can have under their name and care for at a given time. And I think we've been way over our max since 2019. So it is obviously heart-wrenching when we know that there's a baby out there and we unfortunately just can't take them due to capacity, nothing else. I mean, we are currently extending the home to take in more babies. So there's a lot of effort in our community, so Baby Hope House being in Sarnia, to try and make sure that any babies that are abandoned in the area stay in the area, and also make sure that they come into the home and stay with the home until they're either adopted or they are reunited with their family.
So you guys act on the fostering side as a go-between, where you are the in-between home before they reach their forever homes, as we like to call
them.
Yes,
that is correct.
What is it that drives you guys? I mean, I look at you guys sitting here now, and you guys are just all smiles, all happy, and all passionate about what you guys are doing. But it's not easy.
Nah.
You know, what drives you every morning to get up and carry on doing this with the passion that you do with it? I think let's start with Landy and then we can go across to Zama.
Yeah, I want to know what drives Landy too.
Yes, I'm very interested.
I must be honest, when I was treasurer, I did not want to be involved with the babies. I did not want to give my heart away.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people feel the same way. They don't want to get involved with a baby home because they know the baby is going to be adopted and their heart is going to be wrenched out. Mm. That is what makes it all worthwhile, is to love and have your heart ripped out and to give it away again to the next little baby. It is the most amazing feeling in the world, and to know that those babies are going to the most amazing adoptive families. It's just, that's what makes it worthwhile.
You are tuned in to Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM, and we are here on live stream, your weekly dose of life, with your host Vaughn, and we are in studio with Zama Holland and Lundi Viljoen from Baby Hope House. We are discussing the need for us to shine the light on adoption and fostering in South Africa, because we have a lot of kids that are neglected and are in need and are often in extreme crisis situations. Where are all the adopted families and foster families, and how difficult is it really to go through this process if you are wanting to adopt? Let's get back to our discussion today with Lundi Viljoen and Zama Holland from Baby Hope House. For me, as an adopted child, I relate to these stories more than most, and I'm literally almost, I'm trying not to cry because I feel you sitting over there, because I understand exactly what it is. But for those that are listening that might be thinking, hey, we can't go through this heartache of being a foster parent and then giving the child up to a forever home that it might be adopted into. If you don't allow your heart to be pulled out and put back in every time something like this happens, and this goes for every person, I think, in our community that we come across, if we don't put ourselves out there as people and make ourselves vulnerable, I don't think we're not going to see any change in our country or the world. So, Zama, from your side, coming from corporate and now volunteering, your passion and drive to get up every morning and stay involved with Baby Hope House, from more of a marketing point of view, because I think that's what you deal with mostly, give us some of the stuff that you're involved with regarding your passion with Baby Hope House and the marketing side of things.
So I have to echo what Lundi says. So when I first joined Baby Hope House, I could not see the children. It was way too hard. And I've always said to anyone who will listen, for some reason, these abandoned babies are the cutest babies you will ever see in your life.
Yes.
And they get cuter and cuter every time a new baby comes in. So it is soul-wrenching. I completely agree. But as in everything that we do, and something that's always led me, is doing it in the name of Christ and doing it in the name of Jesus and doing it in the name of a ministry, and being part of something bigger than myself and even this country, and giving back where it actually is tangible. And you can see where every cent is going. And I think that was one of my biggest things when I came into Baby Hope House, is if we're going to keep asking for more money, we need to show the people where the money is going. You know, we need to communicate that as much as people don't believe that we need 6 caregivers for 8 children. No, we really do. It's not easy. The common saying, it takes a village. It really, really does. And like Lundi was saying, our volunteers are kind of the key for us when it comes to that. And, you know, I can do everything in the sun to make it sound beautiful and look beautiful and draw people into Baby Hope House. But I think what truly makes them stay is Sonia, our wonderful foster mother, and the babies. We've had people volunteering from high school all the way into retirement. Wow. So there's no limit to what age you have to be or what gender you have to be when it comes to volunteering. And I think when I first stepped into the home in 2019 and saw the love that comes from the volunteers and from the people caring for the babies in the home, I knew this was my home, and that I'd found my people. And as we say it, I found my crazy family, because it really, you know, as much as we love what we do, it takes special kind of people to do it.
And, a special type of crazy.
Yes, a very special type. And a crazy full of love. So we are a family solely focused on loving the children. We're a family that wants to make sure that the children also know the love of Christ. And that's through our actions, through how we raise them when they're with us, and through all the small little things we do on a daily basis that a lot of donors and supporters don't see, that goes into the well-being of the children, so that when they're either reunited with their families or placed into a forever home, they balanced. We try and minimize that shock, that trauma, all of those things that come with being abandoned. We try to bring them into a space of love after feeling ultimately rejection.
Now, I've got a ton of questions that I've got in rattling around my brain that I want to ask you guys, but I know, Zama, I can see you've got a laptop flipped open there. And I did say that this is about Baby Hope House today, not me speaking. So You've got some discussion points that you wanted to go through there.
Sure.
Let's start going through what you need to say to us, because it's a need, guys. People
yes.
need to hear what Zama has to say about these issues, especially what Baby Hope House is doing. Because trust me, there are a lot of organizations like this, and we are going to be focusing on them more and more on the show. And I think after hearing everything that Baby Hope House is doing, we are going to have to go on the road and do a program, including video and footage, everything, so we can shine a light on Baby Hope House and give you guys the big picture, not just Landy and Zama sitting and speaking in studio. But let's hand over to Zama and let's hear some of the stuff that she has to say to us today about Baby Hope House and some of the principles.
Cool. So, as you know, we're an NPO and we need funding always. We have a lot of different programs in place for people within our community or even bigger businesses to contribute towards the home. We ensure that any contribution that comes into the home is one that is sustainable and, again, like I said, tangible. A lot of these big funders usually look for something tangible, and they don't fund on an ongoing monthly basis for the needs of the babies. That's being their food, their diapers, their medicine. Some of our children are in school, so that sort of care that goes into making sure that we raise these little humans in a proper structure so that when they go on to fulfill their dreams and come out into the world, they have been fully supported from the get-go. For us, like I had mentioned earlier, we are extending our nursery. So we are currently in the process of building. It has taken us, 5 years, Landy, to start and break ground and actually start building. It has taken us 5 years to get to this point, and we're really, really proud of the home for surviving COVID, one, and going through all the trials and tribulations that came with COVID. But two, for being in a position where we want to grow the home and bring more children into the home. Our hearts break. As much as children leave, what often happens is we can't place children. So our heart often breaks when you get the social worker coming to check if you have enough space, and you don't, unfortunately. So one of our biggest fundraisers that we were meant to be kicking off in May, unfortunately we got hit with the KZN floods, was a high tea for moms. Our Sonia is someone we want to celebrate because, one, we do not know how she does it. Not a clue. I respect her. So for her, it was about celebrating Sonia. But one of the biggest drivers behind having all these functions is, again, fundraising. And one of the biggest things we are trying to fundraise for right now is actually the home itself being purchased in the name of the NPO.
Okay.
Because currently our first founder, Lynn, had passed away, and she'd left her personal home to Sonia so that the baby home itself could continue. And as a committee and a board, we are trying to make sure that when we are long gone, Baby Hope House still stands as an organization and is funded fully to the point that we are no longer worrying about where we're getting our next funding from. We are only worrying about, can we or can we not take this baby in? That is a position that I've tried to put us in as the marketing chair of continuation of the home and the ministry, because let's be honest, it is a ministry in its own right. And make sure that we don't fall onto tough times again like we saw in COVID. And then we hit panic stations. We are trying to future-proof what we do so that it is passed down from generation to generation.
Okay. Some of the programs that you guys have got on an ongoing basis for fundraising, besides just doing once-off high teas and stuff like that. I saw a couple on your website. Do you want to elaborate on some of the programs that
sure.
you guys have? I think Adopt a Cot
yes.
is one of them.
It was, yeah, so Adopt a Cot was your baby.
No.
Ah. Okay, so it was before us. Adopt a Cot came into fruition. And the reason behind Adopt a Cot is, like we said, we get a limited amount of babies in the home because we have a max with our foster mother. And what we've tried to do is reach out to local businesses within our area and within KZN and ask them to adopt a cot. And by adopting a cot, what essentially they do is whichever child is sleeping in that cot at any given time, will get the funding from the business or from families. And what it is it's a monthly debit order that goes off and you choose the amount you want to donate towards that cot or towards that baby. And then that money you get sent directly to them to pay for medical aid, again, to pay for food, medicine, clothing, all of those things that, although we have a lot of people donating and giving so much to the home, there are certain things that we do need that is quite specific.
Yeah.
So those are the requests that do come through. And that's where Adopt-A-Cot really supports us because it kind of handles the month-to-month costings and running of the home to make sure that we're not stressing our poor Sonia with, we can't get you formula this month, you know? Yeah. So it's trying to move away from panic stations with limitations into a place of, okay, now we're planning for the next 6 months. Now what do we need?
So Adopt-A-Cot essentially is, if a person wants to join that specific program of donation, they are adopting a cot, but they're adopting the child that is in the cot, basically,
yes,
and providing on a monthly basis for all the needs that that child might need. Now, I know that you said they can donate any amount, but there must be a, I mean, you don't want to say no to 10 Rand or 20 Rand or anything like that, but on a monthly basis, if I had to say I want to adopt a cot, I'm talking on behalf of my listeners now as well, what would be a normal monthly amount for a person where you would say, Vaughan, this amount will be good enough for us to do the bare minimum for that specific baby in that cot?
Okay, so we did a whole breakdown and a study, well, added, sorry.
That's why we have you here, Mandy.
And basically, a minimum, well, the figure we came to was 5,000 Rand per month per child, which then would cover all the overheads, the carer's costs, everything that would be needed for their child for the Adopt-A-Cot. But we have got some sponsors that have only adopted half a cot, some of them that have only adopted a fifth of a cot. And every quarter, I send out a letter from the baby to the sponsor about the baby. So it's from the baby in the baby's own words. And yeah.
That is awesome, because I think it can be tricky when you are dealing with young children. You know, I'm not too clued up on the exact laws, but it's not like you can just keep taking photos of the babies and videos and sending it to the donors and saying, look how the child is doing.
No, not at all.
Why aren't you allowed to do that, Zama?
So it's an interesting one. So because of the type of children we take in, like I mentioned earlier, it's a balance between children going to get adopted by new families and children being reunited with their current family. And in South Africa, the laws are quite strict in terms of protecting the baby's identity and where they are being homed. The challenge we have is, although we all want to post the babies on social media because they're so, so cute, what we want to avoid is family members knowing where the child is homed. Because that is something that, depending on who gave up the child, they should not be aware of, because then they can interrupt the child's care. And when I say interrupt, I mean, you know, a child has gotten into a routine and that breaks because, you know, they saw mom. And those sorts of things, you can't tell a child like, no, at that age, your mom's coming or you'll see them soon. It's very hard to communicate that. So it's very fragile in that in-between process when the child is not with their family. And what we want to do is ensure the safety of every child in our home. So it's more for their safety that we don't share photos or share their stories and their background and where they've come from, just because we're trying to protect the child and make sure that they are receiving a care that goes beyond, you know, the basic everyday needs. It also looks at the emotional impact the child that has on the child.
Okay. So, Landy, when you do those letters, they are not public letters where you are giving them to everyone to say, this is a letter from this baby that was sponsored by this person. You are sending that letter individually to the person that donated specifically towards that baby or cot.
Correct.
So it is a very private thing.
Yes.
But for those that are listening, if you are giving, you are getting feedback from Landy on the baby that you are sowing seed into that baby's life. Because that's really what it is. It's not about the 5,000 Rand. It's about sowing a seed into a child's life and giving them a better future than where they are coming from. And trying to make that process, I think, as easy as possible. without interrupting the child. I don't know how you say not interrupting a child when it's been abandoned.
Yeah.
But that's the sad reality. You've got to make the best with what you do. Now, with your volunteer program.
I'm pro-life. That's why I stand for life.
I will speak for those who cannot speak for themselves.
Abortion is murder. That's why adoption is a better option.
I will speak for those who can't speak for themselves.
Adoption is a better option.
I speak for those that cannot speak for themselves.
I stand for life.
Adoption is the better option.
Me, I choose life.
And unfortunately, we have run out of time again today, as we often do here on Livestream, your weekly dose of life. It always seems like we can just keep the conversation going. But I hope that you have enjoyed this beginning of our discussion with Baby Hope House and Zama and Landy. And we are just finishing off when they are about to start speaking about all the different ways and different programs that they have for people to get involved via volunteering of their time. So make sure that you tune into Livestream, your weekly dose of life, for the continuation of our discussion with Landy and Zama from Baby Hope House, which deals with baby abandonment and fostering in our immediate communities around Durban, and they are based in Pinetown. So do tune in next week for Livestream, your weekly dose of life, only on Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM, the station that brings you hope. To meet you guys again next week between 4:30 and 5, only on GNCR every Monday. That is Livestream with your host Vaughan. Goodbye and God bless.
Oh, I don't believe in accidents. Miracles, they don't just happen by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as unplanned. Oh, I don't believe in accidents. Miracles, they don't just happen by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as unplanned.